بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge and benefit us with the knowledge we have acquired. Ameen. Let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are explaining the 99 perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those names have a special merit that whoever memorizes them and understands their meaning will be admitted into paradise, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. We are nearly halfway through. We have explained 50 names so far, and in our lesson tonight we'll continue inshaAllah azza wa jal explaining the rest of the names. Amongst the names of Allah azza wa jal is Ash-Shaheed. Ash-Shaheed, the one from whose knowledge nothing is hidden. Allah witnesses everything the slaves may do. So everything is witnessed by Allah Azza wa Jal, is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. So nothing is hidden from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we conceal in our hearts, Allah knows about it. What we reveal to people, Allah knows about it. So nothing is hidden from the knowledge of Allah. The knowledge of Allah encompasses everything. Also amongst the names of Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Haqq. Al-Haqq means the one in whose existence there is no doubt. Allah's existence has been confirmed with the proofs, logic proofs, and other proofs, the textual proofs. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said, Afillahi shak, that's in Surah Ibrahim, meaning there is no doubt in the existence of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The logic proof or the intellectual proof about the existence of Allah can be determined through the general proof or the detailed proof. The general proof about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal is compulsory upon every accountable person to know how to prove the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal through the general proof. The proof is, for instance, to say every building needs a builder, every writing needs a writer. This whole universe, for a greater reason, needs a creator that does not resemble any of the creations, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a very simple proof, and this is called the general proof. Every accountable person is obligated to learn about it, to know it. In other words, you may say, I came into existence after being non-existent. So there must be a creator who brought me into existence and who does not resemble me in any way. And this same rule applies to the rest of the kinds and the elements of this universe. So every element in this universe came into existence after being non-existent. So it is in need to the creator that brought it into existence and who does not resemble it. That's called the general proof. It was mentioned that Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu was asked about the proof about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. A group of people came to Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu asking him about the proof about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Shafi'i was so clever, so smart, that he said to them, the leaf of mulberry tree. This is proof about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said that the deer eats from it and it produces musk. He told them first, you know that these leaves have the same taste, the same smell, the same characteristics. And they said, yes. Then he said to them, look at this reality. The deer eats from it, it produces musk. Bees eats from it, it produces honey. It produces honey. Cows eat from it, produces milk. And other animals might eat from it, and they produce wastes. Although it has the same taste, same smell, same characteristics, even from one tree in one region, if you get a deer and eats from it, it's going to produce musk. You know, musk is produced from the deer. That's what they call it, the deer musk. It will have like a type of appendix on its stomach. It reaches a stage, it becomes like a bull. It goes to a rock, it rubs its stomach against it until it falls off. Those who know about these ones, they chase them, they hunt them, and they get them. Inside them, there is the essence of the musk. The milk is another product. Honey is another product. Every single product has distinct characteristics. Although they are from the same tree, from the same region, eaten by different animals, producing different products. And those people who came to ask Imam Shafi'i embraced Islam instantly. That's one proof. So those who talk about nature and they refer everything to nature, claim that this happened by nature, this happened by nature. Look at the nature of the mulberry leaves. They are the same characteristics. They carry the same characteristics. However, when eaten by deer, they produce musk. When eaten by cows, they produce milk. When eaten by bees, they produce honey. When eaten by silkworms, they produce what? Silk. And every single product of these ones has different characteristics. So that's very simple proof about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. One of the Bedouins, meaning he's a very simple person, one of the Bedouins in the past was asked about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said, the feces of a camel indicate that once a camel passed by this place, when you see them, traces on the road, you know that a camel passed by this road. So how can not this universe indicate the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal? So the general proof is to say every building needs a builder, every writing needs a writer, and this whole universe for greater reason needs a creator, and that is Allah Azza wa Jal, who does not resemble the creations. That's the general proof, and the scholar said it's a personal obligation upon every accountable person to know it. So if someone were to debate with you and ask you about the proof, about the existence of Allah, you can give him this proof, which is very, very simple. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ الْمُبِينَ. So when you say Allah is Al-Haqq, that's the name of Allah, it means the one in whose existence there is no doubt. Because everything indicates the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبُصِرُونَ. Look at yourself. You see the proof about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you look around you, look at the skies, look at the earth, at the ocean, at the sea, at the trees, you find the proof about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also amongst the perfect names of Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Wakil. It means the one who manages the sustenance of the slaves and the one who knows everything about them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything about the slaves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides the sustenance to the slaves. There is nothing that walks on the earth without being dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in providing sustenance. Everything, even the worm in the belly of the earth, relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get its sustenance. Some creatures at the bottom of the ocean, they find their sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wakil, the one who provides the sustenance to the slaves, and he knows everything about them. Sometimes in Arabic, some people might use that term, Allah Wakil, that such and such happened. When they use it in that context, Allah Wakil, it means Allah knows this is what happened. So one has to be very, very careful, because if one tells a lie, then he says, Allah Wakil, this is what happened, as if he's saying Allah is unaware of what happened. Allah doesn't know the fact. And by this, one is attributing ignorance to Allah Azza wa Jal. So the word Allah Wakil, when used in Arabic, it means Allah knows. So one should not use that term, Allah Wakil, such and such happened, unless one is saying the truth. Otherwise, one would be attributing ignorance to Allah Azza wa Jal, and attributing ignorance to Allah Azza wa Jal is blasphemous. Allah Ta'ala said, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. So Allah is Al-Wakil. Also Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Qawi, the one who is attributed with the perfect power. Nothing obstructs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from fulfilling his will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the perfect power, and whatever Allah ta'ala willed for it to happen, it will come into existence by the power of Allah azza wa jal. Nothing stops that thing from coming into existence. Nothing delays it from coming into existence. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed eternally for that thing to happen, to come into existence, it will come into existence at that exact point in time by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another word for al-quwwa, which is power, is al-qudra in Arabic. Both are synonyms, carry the same meaning. So you can say Allah is al-qawi, and you can say Allah is al-qadir. You might say Allah is al-qadir or Allah is al-qawi. Allah Ta'ala said, وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So that's the term Qadir is used here. Powerful, all powerful. Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. ذُو الْقُوَّةِ, the one who is attributed with the perfect power. So Al-Quwwa and Al-Qudra has the same meaning. It means Allah is attributed with the perfect power. However, we do not call Allah Azza wa Jal power or force. We do not say Allah is force or Allah is power. No, we say Allah is attributed with the perfect power. Some modern writers write in their books, they say there is a hidden force behind this universe, and that hidden force is Allah, wal-iyazu billah. Allah is not called force or hidden force or power. Allah is attributed with power. So power is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you do not say Allah is power. Say Allah is attributed with power. Allah ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. لَقَوِيٌّ, the all-powerful. عَزِيز, the undefeated. All the creations are dominated by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Controlled by the power of Allah azza wa jal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-powerful, the undefeated. Also, Allah Ta'ala is Al-Mateen. Tiredness does not apply to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the meaning of Al-Mateen. Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. So Al-Mateen is one of the perfect names of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. It means that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is not susceptible to tiredness, is not subject to tiredness, because tiredness is a sign of weakness, and weakness does not apply to Allah Azza wa Jal, because whoever is weak cannot be God, cannot create. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, is the one who is attributed with the perfect power. Also among the perfect names of Allah is Al-Wali. Al-Wali here means the supporter, the one who supports his believing slaves, the prophets and the true followers are supported by Allah Azza wa Jal and are the successful ones in all cases, because in the hereafter they will be rewarded greatly. So even if a prophet gets killed in this life, he is victorious. He is victorious because he will receive great rewards in the hereafter. The believers are victorious in any way. Allah Ta'ala said, وهو الولي الحميد. So Al-Hamid is another name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means the one who is worthy of praise and thankfulness. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. You recite in Al-Fatiha, in your prayer, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. It means Allah is worthy of praise. That's the meaning of it. When you say Alhamdulillah, Allah is worthy of praise because Allah is the creator. If you were to count the endowments bestowed upon you from Allah Azza wa Jal, you can never count them. So Allah is worthy of praise. Allah is Al-Muhsi. Al-Muhsi, it means the one who encompasses by his knowledge everything and knows the count of everything. There are many things in this universe that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about. The number of angels, Allah is the only one who knows about the number. Look at yourself, and that's proof that you did not create yourself. You don't know about every single detail in yourself. How many cells do you have in your body? You don't know. How many hair do you have in your body? You don't know. So many things about yourself you are unaware of. So you are not the creator of yourself. Your parents do not know these details about you as well. They did not create you. Your mother gave birth to you, but she's not your creator because she doesn't know about everything about you. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about the whole unforeseen. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ خَمْس. Five unforeseen matters only known to Allah Azza wa Jal. Then he recited the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. That's the exact time of the occurrence of the hour. And here we mean by the hour the day for judgment, when it's going to occur, to happen. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. The rain. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Knows about what is in the womb. See, the angel does not know if this lady is pregnant with a baby boy or a baby girl unless he is sent to blow the soul in it. That's upon the completion of 4 months. When he is ordered, when he is given the instructions, the orders to shape the fetus, the baby, as a boy or a girl, and to put the soul in it, that's when he knows by the order of Allah Azza wa Jal. Before that, he doesn't know from the beginning. Even now, as you know, with all the technology they have, even to the last moment of pregnancy, they make mistakes. To the last moment. Even just before birth, they're still insisting you have a baby boy. Then she gives birth to a baby girl. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. One doesn't know what he might acquire tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. And one doesn't know in which area he will die. Now, subhanAllah, you look at yourself, you know and you believe that one day you will die. How? Where? You don't know. So these are the 5 unforeseen matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not inform any of the creations about. In paradise, there are types of enjoyments that even the angels in charge of paradise are unaware of them. And the Prophet said in the hadith that Allah Ta'ala said, so it's a Qudsi hadith, that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala prepared for the believers in paradise what an eye has never seen, an ear has never heard of, and what has never crossed one's heart. So not even thinking about, imagining, you cannot get it. Even if you try to imagine it, you cannot imagine that enjoyment that Allah hid from the creations in paradise. Also, Allah is Al-Mubdi, Al-Mu'id. Al-Mubdi, the one who originated the creations, brought them from the state of non-existence into the state of existence, the originator. So Allah originated these creations. Allah originated human beings. And when they die, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quickens them, brought them back to life. Allah brings them back to life, quickens them, brings them back to life on the day of judgment. Allah Ta'ala said, Huwa yubdi'u wa yu'id, the one who originates and quickens. That's after death. That's why the non-believers in the past, they used to look at the bones, how they decay, and they think about these bones being brought back as they were, and a human being after death, after decaying, how he is going to be resurrected. Many of them did not believe in resurrection. One non-believer called Al-As ibn Wa'il came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with decayed bones in his hand. They were like biscuits. You know, when they become old, they become like biscuits. So he started crushing them by his hands. And he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does your Lord bring these bones back to life after they decayed? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Allah resurrects them and resurrects you and admits you to hellfire. Because the Prophet at that moment receives a revelation that this person will not become a believer. He will die as a non-believer. That's why he said to him, those bones will be resurrected, you will be resurrected, and you will be admitted into hellfire. And even the story that you know about the people of the cave, you know, the seven young men, and who had a dog with them as well. And in Surah Al-Kahf, you know, the chapter of Al-Kahf, the cave, at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a wisdom. The king of that time was a non-believer. And they met someone who called them to Islam and they embraced Islam. And they became God-fearing and righteous. And they were worried about their religion. When the king knew about them, that they have embraced Islam and they're not believing in what he believes, he gave them a period of time to think about their situation, either to leave Islam or otherwise he's going to kill them. So they were worried about themselves. They don't want to be trialed. They don't want to go through a trial where they might be forced to leave Islam. So they came up with this idea, let us run away. But they don't want people to realize that they were running away. So they pretended they were playing. So you play soccer, passing things to each other, and people were seeing them as if they are playing. And they kept on moving away, away, away from people. And then later on they were chased by a dog. They started throwing rocks at the dog to go back. Then the dog spoke and he said, I'm not an enemy. I want to be with you, to guard you. Then they all went, they reached a cave And they went into that cave and they said, let us hide here now. They went and they fell asleep. They fell asleep. They slept for more than 300 years. Asleep. And the dog was sitting with his eyes open, wide open, that anyone who would come past, if he sees the dog, he might run away, as a guard for them. They slept for more than 300 years. Now, after 300 years, subhanAllah, there was a king. And that king was Muslim, was a believer. At his time, some people started doubting the matter of resurrection after death. And he was very worried and he was asking Allah to guide him, to make them believe in resurrection. Then the rest of the story, as you know about, that they woke up, that was towards the end of the day. So they know from themselves, they came in the morning, now it's in the afternoon. So they thought, maybe we stayed part of a day. Then they said, we are hungry. They felt hungry. Then they said to one of them, go while disguising to the city, try to get to buy some food and come back. So he went disguised to the city. He couldn't see the city he knows 300 years ago. Different buildings, different everything. But he went to a place and he wanted to buy some food. And he gave him the currency that was used at that time. The coins with the picture of that king, the non-believer king who lived 300 years ago. Then that person thought this person found a treasure. So they took him to the king, to that believing king. When he reached him, he told him about the story, that this is what happened, and he told him now it's 300 years after your time. Then the king with a big convoy followed him to that cave. Then he said to them, let me go first inside so they won't get scared and I'll tell them about what happened. So he went inside and he told them. Then it was said that they died and they were blocked from the people who came, and people started thinking, let us build a mosque here and the like, in the remembrance of those people. So that was a sign, about resurrection, that if one can sleep for that period of time without getting affected, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to resurrect them on the day of judgment. That benefited the king who came after 300 years, who was trying to make people believe firmly in resurrection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mubdi, the originator, and al-mu'id, the one who quickens them, meaning brings them back to life after death, and that's resurrection. We'll stop up to here, insha'Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to increase our knowledge and benefit us with the knowledge we have acquired. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say, La ilaha illallah, and we make salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.